97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Welcome back. It is the 4 o'clock hour of the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. We do have Sue's News coming up here. George Gray is in the house, Woo-hoo! Sue Thomas, for a legendary edition of The Price is Wrong, Mark. If you've never heard that, it's epic. It really is. George is on The Price is Right with Drew Carey. Actually, you know, he's flying to New York tomorrow to be on the Today Show with Drew on Thursday. So,
is he really? That's kind of exciting.
He's kind of coming into St. Louis where he spends a lot of his time. He's a huge Cardinals fan and will not get to see the Cardinals because he's going to New York City for the Today Show. But he'll come in here in just a minute. Why don't you introduce our next guest, Sue?
Oh, listen, Steve Jervey is a good friend of mine, and he was the chief meteorologist here at Channel 30. Remember when KDNL, we had a newscast there?
I do remember that.
That was 94 through about 98. But when he left here, he went down to Florida. He went to Tampa and was the chief meteorologist at WFLA for, 25 years, Steve?
Yeah. It's been I just retired. It's just about a little over 23, almost 24.
So, that's why we called Steve today, because he's going to give us the latest on the hurricane.
Hi, Steve. How are you? And how are things down in Florida?
Pretty quiet Ryan right now, Mark. It's just a little bit of a breeze, but of course it's all developing in the Gulf, so we're just kind of all waiting. They say waiting for a hurricane is like being stalked by a turtle, and it's kind of true.
Well, I heard we had a little bit of an update, and I played some audio from DeSantis at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, but are we hearing that it's tracking a little south of Tampa right now? Give us the latest.
Yeah, the track has shifted with the computer model trend. South of the actual Tampa Bay. And the reason Tampa Bay is so vulnerable is, first of all, there's 200 miles off the west coast of Florida. It's relatively shallow, so water can pile up. Within Tampa Bay itself, it's very shallow, an average of about 10 feet, except for where they dredge for ships. So you push a lot of water into Tampa Bay, that's a huge, huge problem. And a track now is going south of that area, which would mean winds are blowing out into the Gulf offshore. And that provides much less of a storm surge threat, which is good for us. However, whenever a storm is threatening a coast, it's obviously going to hit someone and cause a lot of storm surge, especially south of that eye landfall. So we're still talking about 10 feet, perhaps, of storm surge south of that eye. And that's shifted farther now toward Sarasota and southward.
Steve, can't this stuff change at the last second? I mean, how far out are we right now?
Well, we're at the landfall perhaps sometime tomorrow evening, and we've already seen the storm wobble, the computer model trends as well. The thing about this is very frustrating. You want to know the answer, and there just isn't a solid answer. You can give guidance, you can offer the latest forecast based on the data, but there's just not a solid answer as to where this thing will land for sure or how strong it will actually be. But you can certainly say there's going to be great, great impacts on the west coast of Florida somewhere.
So, Steve, in your 25 years there in Tampa, this just doesn't happen on the Bay side as much, right? So how many times have you had warnings along these lines?
Oh, good. We had close call storms. For this type of storm, honestly, it's been 1921 was a landfall, was very similar to this type of size storm. And that's why they were comparing it to that, thinking, okay, you know, 100-year storm, literally almost. So it doesn't happen that often. And the reason for that is that storms get in the Gulf and cold fronts start to come down from the north this time of year, get a little closer to Florida, start to get ready to cool us off, and they shove the storm basically toward the west coast. But statistically, we have a much less chance.
Okay, but you're in Tampa. What have you done? Have you had to, like, I don't know, batten down the hatches? Are people leaving? What's the situation?
So far, pretty quiet. Of course, the grocery stores and the gas stations and stuff. A lot of people, that sort of energy, if you want to call it, is ramping up. There's a kind of a weird feeling in the air when a storm's on the way, because most people aren't prepared. I would say about 90% of the people realistically are not ready for a storm like this. A lot of new residents, a lot of people have moved here in the last.
That's very true.
So it's like, what are they talking about? What I did for a living, I knew, and I've been in hurricanes. I was in Andrew in 92. That was a category 5. So I'm a believer, you know. So when I remodeled my house, I did a lot of things to the home to strengthen it. So I feel pretty confident here, but a lot of people just have no idea what to do.
I saw one last thing here. I saw some games, I think college games, being rescheduled, but the Chiefs are supposed to play the Buccaneers on Sunday night. Any word about a change in that, or are we thinking things might be okay by then?
The word I had, Sunday night might be just fine. But, of course, when you're being threatened by this, they don't want to make a call on anything. I've heard that they might even choose a neutral site in the Midwest somewhere to play that game. But I think, based on the current forecast, and that can change, that Sunday might be a go for the Bucs here in Tampa. But, of course, it's just too early to say, and they'll make that call.
Steve, thank you so much. Great having someone down there sort of give us the very latest. Steve Jervy, who is
safe.
A retired meteorologist at WFLA-TV in Tampa. And enjoy the retirement. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark and Sue.
Thanks,
there
Steve.
You go. He's got a very sultry voice, doesn't he?
Well, I guess I never realized that, but I guess so.
He's got good pipes.
He does.
He's
have
a good radio
pipes.
Guy too. Well, not everybody in broadcasting does, right?
I don't know what you mean.
Let's do this.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Mark, this has a little bit of music here. This is 36 years ago today. In 1986, the Beatles song Twist and Shout re-entered the charts.
We'll shake it up, baby.
Okay, it peaked at number 23. Can you remember or guess why it was revitalized? It was a movie.
Was it Ferris Bueller's
that
Day Off?
That is correct! Fred, I love that movie so much.
That, I do too.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
I totally
Come on.
Agree. Now, I feel about Ferris Bueller's Day Off kind of like Fred feels about Gilligan's Island. Show us the books, Fred.
Oh, yeah, I brought in my collection of Gilligan books. So I've got
collection. It looks like half the library.
Gilligan, Maynard, and Me, Bob Denver.
Oh my!
I gotta go back to this here.
Here on Gilligan's Isle by Russell Johnson, the professor.
Okay.
Inside Gilligan's Island by Sherwood Schwartz, the creator of the show. The unofficial Gilligan's Island handbook by Joey Green. Don't know who that is. And Marianne's Gilligan's Island cookbook.
Ooh! Oh.
So that's one of my favorite ones.
Have
Lots
you made
of pictures.
Something out
oh,
there,
no.
Fred?
I just look at pictures.
Oh,
I don't
of course
cook.
You do.
That is really impressive.
Isn't
so
it?
They all
kind
of look like they came out in the same era. Is that true or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, they did. They all were like within 10 years of each
now,
other, 5 years
Fred,
or so.
Are those on? Wait a second. I see an autograph there. Is there
Wait,
an autograph?
Yeah, Gilligan, the... Bob Denver.
Well, you're burying the lead here on the Bob Denver autograph.
Where
in the book?
Did you meet John Denver?
Bob.
That's how I got all the how I got
John,
all these.
John
books.
Was different. John, he was skiing
they
with John
guests.
Denver. That didn't
he was
go
a guest.
Well.
Party.
He
Pardon
was a
me.
Guest on the radio show on KMOX.
Of
back
course he
in
was.
The 90s or something.
Did you show
like
him
that.
Your collection of Gilligan, Maynard,
just,
and Me, and et cetera?
Nope, I was just building it then.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
There you
well,
go.
There
Quite
you
impressive.
Have it.
It is impressive.
I'm going to have to go out and buy Ferris Bueller's Day Off books. I have not done that yet.
little,
I just want to keep up with Fred.
We should have had the Gilligan's Island theme song for that, Fred.
Yeah,
yeah
so
I know.
Sorry.
We should have moved it over from yesterday.
And 24 years ago, today, in 1998... was when Mark McGwire became the first player to ever hit 70 home runs in a single season.
It's funny because this year they act like that never even happened.
Yep, just
right?
nothing. And he held the record for 3 years until Barry Bonds raised the bar to 73. Yeah.
By the way, Albert is in the lineup there in Milwaukee two-game series. Brendan Donovan's leading off. Albert DH tonight. I think he's batting seventh or eighth.
Oh, that's cool. By the way, we've got... a story about this that I saw come out yesterday. Supply chain issues. Okay, chip shortages. These things are creating issues for everybody, but including car manufacturers. Well, the latest is that Ford is having trouble getting their own logo. Those little oval Ford things, they can't get them for their own cars. That is behind, too.
Pretty funny.
So they've got about 40 to 45,000 vehicles that they can't send out because they're missing those pieces, their
you know,
own nameplate things.
I was curious about this recently because I have a car that's only a couple years old, but I have on the back, it says the model of the car. And one of the little emblems from that fell off. and I found it, luckily.
Oh, you did? Thank
because
goodness.
It had fallen. I think it had fallen off at the car. I don't know where it fell. Anyway, I had it, and I went to the AutoZone or something like that, and I got the I didn't know
the
if there was special
stuff.
Glue, but I did.
Is there?
Maybe. I think it's basically super glue. Oh. But the reason I bring it up is because I put it on there, and this I thought about this because I thought, if this thing is gone and I don't have it, I bet it will take months. And this stuff like that drives me crazy. It would take months just to get a P. It was just the letter P that I needed.
And that's funny you say that because nameplates are the other things they can't get. So if it's a Ford F-150, they've got no Ford oval logo and no Ford F-150 to put on it.
And those are just smaller manufacturers. We have places like that in St. Louis that provide parts for big auto companies.
Are you any good at identifying those just by seeing the emblem?
Yeah.
What car it is?
I think
I'm really bad at that.
I'm really good if the name's in there like Ford.
Oh.
Fred, she brings up a good point.
Yeah. But I know a couple of them. Like Kia's real easy because I go around and I steal those.
Key, that's
that always comes up in a trivia
sure
contest.
Now, sure.
They show you those pictures of all the emblems in trivia contest.
Oh,
you
I
have to identify the car.
I'm not very good at trivia.
You could be on my team.
But
so.
Okay, Fred, we're going to get together because you got the Gilligan trivia. And by the way, side note, Governor Parson is scheduled to visit Wentzville GM plant later this week. We'll see what he's going to announce. All right, air travel is up, but traveler satisfaction with airports is a down. At least in North America, J.D. Power released its airport satisfaction study for 2022 and found that passenger volume is almost at pre-pandemic levels, but travelers are faced with crowded airports, fewer flights, a narrow selection of food and beverages. A friend of mine was supposed to fly back yesterday from somewhere, Tulsa, and she couldn't get back. Mark has probably traveled the most. Is it bad in the airports? No, yes.
Well, I fly Southwest. I'm flying Southwest again this weekend, and I haven't had major issues. I also sometimes go out on the first flight of the day, which helps. But
smart.
There was somebody, I can't remember who it was. There was a musical person who I follow on Twitter that said a couple of days ago and got a bunch of responses and likes, including from me, why is American Airlines like the worst airline on the planet? And it's like American and United have so many problems.
I don't know. I really don't know why that's the case. It is the case, though. They say the study itself uses a 1,000-point scale, and satisfaction is down 25 points from last year to 777.
By the way, somebody made this observation recently. It was not me, but I'm going to steal it, and I think it's a great observation. You know what we haven't heard about happening on an airplane in months and months and months, and there is a direct correlation?
Wait, hold on. Months and months and months.
What have we not heard about on an airplane since, I'd say May?
Masks?
No, we haven't. It's a result of not masking. We haven't heard about a confrontation on an airplane where someone's pinned down or they have to put duct tape around them because we don't have the stupid masking thing.
That's true. That's true. I mean, can't get around that. And finally in Sue's news, we have time for George Gray. Today's random fact. It is impossible to buy a flight to Delaware. Frontier Airline, no crowd, because everybody wants to go to Delaware. Frontier Airlines used to go to Wilmington Newcastle Airport, but they dropped those routes in June. So now Delaware is the one state in the U.S. that you can only fly to. You could really only get there on a private plane. That's a good trivia.
Oh, my gosh. That seems crazy. Well,
isn't that nuts?
Probably how the president's getting there most of the time, right? There you go. That's Sue's News. We have The Price is Wrong Mark with George Gray from The Price is Right. Coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk. Hang in there. All right, it is time. Highly anticipated moment where George Gray is in the studio once again from Hollywood. On his way to New York, I understand. He is on The Price is Right. He's the modern-day Johnny Olsen working with Drew Carey. And he's here to play The Price is Wrong, Mark. How are you? I just learned, a couple weeks ago you were making this trip into town.
I just learned that I don't have any ears, so...
And we had the wrong mic on and everything.
Yeah. Look at that. I think... Do we have it now? Oh, there you go. Isn't that nice, huh? I actually reached for them because they're sitting next to me, and Sue just gave me dagger eyes. She goes, those are mine.
That's how I talk.
Oh, my God. Yeah. She went full Liza Minnelli on me. Can you believe that?
How are you, George Gray?
I'm doing fantastic. You usually play some kind of Happy Price is Right music.
We do that.
Oh, we're waiting.
We haven't officially started.
We're savoring.
We are savoring.
I understand.
But you told me you're going to be on. We got to promote this.
Yeah, okay.
You're going to be on the Today Show Thursday?
I am going to be on the Today Show Thursday. It's Drew and I. So
I love it.
More accurately, Drew, and then I'm coming along for the ride. But
I don't know about that.
Yeah, we're gonna be on with Hoda and Jenna, and we're gonna do something really fun. We're gonna play a game.
Are you gonna do shots with Hoda?
I think that was part. Yeah. How did you guess?
Or drink a little wine with her?
How did you guess that that is exactly what we're going to be doing? So, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're going to shoot an episode of Rachel Ray's after that. Then there's something called the Paley. That's a big museum that's in New York. And we're going to do some red carpet thing on Thursday.
This is great. And then
over the weekend, we're going to let people come and spin the wheel and drop a Plinko chip and everything. So it's going to be really neat.
And your whole week starts with this. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to play the legendary game that George Gray actually came up with a couple years ago.
The price is wrong.
Mark, take it away, George Gray.
Here it comes. That's right. The price is wrong, Mark. Let's kick things off by saying, hi, Mama May. Hi, Judy Reardon. See, I got to throw that in there. Otherwise, you get upset.
Yeah, you do.
All right. For those of you at home, the way the Price is Wrong Mark plays is these are actual, real, bona fide, genuine items that are available on Craigslist or our Facebook or something like that in the St. Louis area. These are real items. You can purchase them. If you're at home right now, this is something that you could buy. And whoever gets closest to the actual retail price without going over is going to win the item. And then, at the end of the game, the winner that has the most points will receive a fabulous no case. All right. You ready to kick things off? Today, we only have three, count them, three contestants. A little odd, a little different, a little strange.
Hayes from Y98 really wanted to be here but was unable. Believe me, you know, he had a two-time... Yeah. Well, because if you remember correctly, he defended his championship successfully. And then the third time he played, he got smoked. He didn't get one right.
That's
so
right.
And maybe he's just dipping out because of that.
Yeah, well, I think you also want as few contestants as possible...
To increase my
a better chance of winning, right?
Actually, the real reason was Hayes failed his PED test, and so we knew he was using intelligence-enhancing drugs, and you just can't...
I knew it.
You know, we don't tolerate that around here.
No,
we
certainly not.
Do
That's apparent.
Not. Okay. All right, here's the first item up for bids on the Price is Wrong Mark. 1950s Huckleberry Hound Yogi Bear Quick Draw McGraw Metal TV Trays. Okay.
And Fred might actually have these already.
Do you have that, Fred?
I don't have that.
All right, because that would be cheating.
Fred might have listed these. These are, and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say these are really super cool. I would actually own these. Feel free to get me these.
Okay,
here we go.
Well, and candidly, look, George, you're a retro guy, and that's your kind of whole thing.
Well,
at home and your bar and everything.
Everything. Old school. That's true. All right, here we go. The description available. Is a rare vintage 1950s, 1960s children collection of three Huckleberry Hound Yoga Bear Quick Draw McGraw metal TV trays with original stands. Usually difficult to find. Photo demonstrates the tray illustrations and conditions, which are quite good considering the age. Each tray measures approximately 13 by 3/4 and 18 inches and 2 feet in height. An unusual tray with stand can sell more than asking for this entire collection on eBay. Items have been in the same family for 60 years and come from a non-smoking and pet-free home. Very collectible. Must see to appreciate. Okay, first of all, there is no home, no home in the 1950s and early 60s with TV trays where every single person in the house wasn't chain-smoking. Babies were chain-smoking in the 1950s. That's true. They know it. So that we're going to go ahead and call. I'm going to call them out on that and say this was not a non-smoking family when these trays were being used.
That did not exist.
1962, you're watching Lost in Space. You got a Pall Mall in your mouth. That's just the way it was.
George, how many trays? Sorry.
This is three trays.
Three trays.
Yeah,
three trays.
Sue, I want to mention there's a visual here for those people playing at home, too. Abby has put this on the feed, so you can watch on the Facebook or the Twitter. She has a picture of the trays right now up on the screen, so you can look at those.
I'm going to look at that
I would buy the heck out of these. Yeah, if you're looking at it at home, these are cool. All right, so Mark, what would you like to bid?
$125.
Wow. He's going full American picker on that, Sue.
I'm going, George, how about $35?
$35. Wow. Fred, what do you say?
I'm going to go $36.
Oh, dang it, Fred.
Oh, Fred, learning the game.
I hate it when that happens.
Oh, mercy. Actual retail price is $90. $90.
Dang it, Fred.
$90. Nice. Fred, win one.
I won't do that again.
Okay? No, you can. That's
you
how you
should
play.
Do
you
it.
Totally have
it's
to do it.
Good. It's a great way to play. Okay, here we go. Next item up for bids.
Okay.
Female and male ball pythons. Female and male ball pythons. I have a female and male ball. It's just the way it's written. I have a female and male ball pythons for sale.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The female is a yellow belly, possible het candy. I'm just reading it. Het candy. A yellow belly, possible het candy. She is not an adult and will be ready to mate in about another year. Boy, if I had a nickel. I also have a male hidden gene Wama pinstripe enchi adult ready to mate. First of all, how do you know? And second of all, isn't it pretty typical? The female's not ready. The guy, he is raring to go.
She had a headache, George.
Boy, just like every ball python, huh? Isn't it? she has a headache.
Maybe it's got something to do with head.
She's been out strangling mice all day. She's just not in the mood,
she's
right?
She's tired.
She's tired, exactly.
Yes.
So the question is going to be total. This is for the two of them, okay?
Okay.
So we're going to start with Sue. What do you say?
I have no idea. So I'm saying $100.
$100 for a couple of frisky snakes.
Yes.
Fred, what would you like?
$150.
$150. Mark.
Wow, this is tough. I'm going to just go 151.
Oh-ho!
Because I can't imagine this is going to be a cheap endeavor.
Hoisted on Fred's petard. Look at that, huh? Yeah, you live by the dollar, you die by the dollar. Actual retail price for these fabulous ball pythons.
Come on.
$300.
Yes! Yes! Dang it.
$300. Oh. Yeah, a little pricey. It's probably because the one snake is extra horny. Okay, here we go. Next item. This one is worth, I'm including this one because Abby has the picture for it. So this one is worth all the money. And this is a very short description. It's Ben Cooper, witch costume. Witch costume.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is going to, you can't unring that bell.
Oh.
If you see this, it says rare, vintage Ben Cooper, witch Halloween costume, very old, very cool, and I'm going to add super creepy.
It is creepy.
Super creepy.
Yeah,
and if you're looking
creepy.
For a Halloween costume that's going to creep people out, this is actually a pretty good
okay,
one.
George, is that
yes.
made out of the stuff that, you know, that we had when we were
yes.
kids and it made you sweat?
Yes.
And it, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the really,
so it's that
the very thin plastic.
Yeah.
This is a very original. If you're a vintage collector, this is cool, but it is also extremely creepy. Like, if you saw a kid coming up to your door like that, you might throw something off your porch at him.
Because there's a little aspect of a creepy clown involved in the mask, too, wouldn't
oh,
you
it's
say?
Bad. Yeah. It is bad. It is. There's a lot going on there. So, Fred, what would you like to bid?
$50.
$50? Mm, Mark.
It, Fred.
I'm going to go with... go with $30.
$30. Shoot. And Sue, how much would you pay to creep out the entire neighborhood?
I'm going to say...
You got 50 and you got 30.
How about 31?
31. Trying to thread the needle.
I think
actual price to creep out everybody you've ever known is... $125.
What? Oh, my gosh.
Fred. Oh, Sue, you had it in your hands.
I really didn't think. I almost said 20, so it shows what
in
I know.
In your
you
hands.
It didn't cost me because, man, I was way low on that.
Yeah. So.
All right. I have three more. Do we have time for all three or should we do two? Should we do two?
Well, we've got time for at least two.
Yeah.
At least two?
I need help. I got to get up there.
Okay. Well, then let's, you know what?
yeah, do two because that gives us five total.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Fine.
Okay.
Fred's got the leader, though.
Yeah,
he does. Okay.
Go, Fred.
Large yellow peanut M&M store display.
Oh.
Large peanut M&M store display. Own a large collectible for cheap. And those are in huge caps. One of a kind. Really? Peanut M&M store display originally used in a store to hold bags of M&Ms. He's about 4 feet 6 inches tall. No deliveries. No holds. There are a few large cracks in the back. See additional pics. And so you can see it posted there. So, how much would you pay for what is most certainly somebody got liquored up and went and stole this out of some unsuspecting store and then is now trying to fence it? So it's a hot yellow peanut M&M store display. Those don't give them away.
Who, like,
did you say he's 4 feet tall?
Somebody got completely schnockered and went, dude, you know what would be really funny? And that's why it's got cracks on the back.
So, yes, 4 feet, 6 inches tall. And Mark, you are going to kick off the bidding. Sue, you got to
I don't want to talk about it.
What would you like to bid, Mark?
$60, George.
$60.
$60.
Sue?
I'm saying $70.
$70. Mm-hmm. Fred.
71.
Oh!
Have we all gone over? I think this might be a risk.
I think we might be over. I think so. I hope so.
How much is it going to be for stolen material? It is
$80!
Fred!
Fred, you are on
fire.
Fred
is just crushing it.
It doesn't feel like a clean win, though.
Crushing it.
It hasn't just been like one over.
Yeah, but that's how you play.
Okay.
That's how you play, Fred.
Crushing it.
Fred, you're... What are you talking about? You're using game strategy and you're winning. That's
it took
exactly
us at least a year to figure out that we could do this, so you should take it
and
run.
All right. Now, we saved the best item for last. Okay. Abby, congratulations on finding truly the greatest item that has ever existed on Craigslist. And here we go. Now, first of all, this is a secondary note. What is a plaster or a porcelain cast of somebody's? It's not a full body when you see them. It's not a full statue. It's where it's just from their waist.
A bust.
It is called a bust. Thank you very much, Mark. Very
nice,
good.
Mark.
Now, keeping in mind that that's what a type of statuary is called,
okay,
we now begin with this item.
Okay.
Jenna Jameson, limited edition, mini statue, only 2,500 made.
I'm sorry, George. I'm going to have to ask for a little assistance here. Jenna, what's her name?
Jenna Jameson.
I don't know who
stop.
She is. Jameson.
Yes.
Who's she?
Well, just look at the tattoo on your arm. That one right there. That one right there. Jenna Jameson, limited edition, mini statue, only 2,500 made. Okay, and here's the description. Truly a treat. Packaged in a great-looking closed box.
What?
This mini bust stands at approximately 8 inches tall and features Jenna in a classical pose. Made of heavy polystone resin, plastic, this awesome-looking bust is a must for all Jenna fans. Limited at 2,500 units worldwide. All right.
Wow.
So what a fantastic bust this is, huh? I mean, look at that bust. Isn't that impressive?
Wait, it's a bust of one of America's finest actresses in history.
Exactly. So how much would you pay for this bust? And
me?
we're gonna start with Sue.
Yeah. I would pay nothing. but I will go ahead for the purposes of this game. And I will say $10.
$10. Think what a conversation piece this would be when grandma and grandpa come over for Thanksgiving. You've got it in the entryway. You got it in the foyer of the house. They look over and see this truly one-of-a-kind collectible.
I think it would pair very nicely with, like, the leg lamp deal from A Christmas Story. Don't you think?
Well,
that is high class compared to this, baby.
Yes, exactly.
Fred, what do you say?
I'm going to say $50.
Fred... Really,
you know,
really
say,
wants this.
This photo looks like she's a man. Just the face. I'm just saying I don't think this is the world's best.
You've already bid.
Yeah, okay.
You've already bid.
It has been
duly noted. This is not your favorite item.
Okay,
I have a decision to make here,
however,
George.
Mark would spend some real money on this.
I mean, I either have to go $11 or $51.
Yeah, what you gonna do, Mark?
I think I'm going to say $51.
He's going to say $51. Okay, and keep in mind, I didn't mention this, but this is worth... 10 points. This is worth 10 points.
Oh,
okay?
10 points.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
I think it has to be, okay?
Okay. Right,
okay.
Okay.
And here we go. We've got $10 from an incredibly angry contestant, Sue, that finds this a truly offensive. It's called a bust. That's what it is.
It
we
is.
Can't control
What's
what
this?
Antiquities
well, okay.
are. There's a lot going on there. Fred said 50. Mark gambled and said 51. Actual price for Jenna Jameson bust is...
$40!
Sue! The come from behind queen!
Wrong decision again!
Congratulations!
Oh, thank you!
And you win the amazing no case!
Hang on the details in the no case. We'll take a break here for traffic. We'll come back with all those details. We'll catch up with you and we'll say goodbye to this hour, but hang on. All right, well, we just wrapped up another edition of The Price is Wrong. Mark George Gray is in the studio, but we have yet to get to the no case, which is very special.
Well, it's truly a fabulous one today, and congratulations to our winner, Sue, who can't keep her eyes off Jenna Jameson's bust. Okay, today's No Prize Showcase. It's your very own limited edition CD of cover versions of some classic hits, including Gas Hater Gavin Newsom remaking that popular wedding reception dance song. You can't resist it.
It's electric. Oh, yeah, the electric slide. It's very good. It's
and, of course, don't forget Stacey Abrams' cover of the DeFranco family classic. It's a
loving, and it's a good one. We would have had to have followed the news in the last week about Stacey denying that a heartbeat is possible after 6 weeks. That's a good song. I like
that. Wow, Fred.
Don't interrupt a no case.
I'm sorry.
All right. Governor DeSantis and Abbott team up on the John Denver Oldie But a Goodie. I got you,
babe.
I screwed up. What is this, your first day in radio?
In fairness, that is not listed at number three, but here we go. Do it again. We can edit.
All right. Yeah. Governor DeSantis and Abbott team up on the John Denver Oldie But a Goodie. Because I believe in a jet
plane. Don't know when I'll be back. I think this is going to be stuck in my head all night.
And Martha. Here we go. Okay. New York Attorney General Letitia James dedicates her classic remake of the Sonny and Cher tune to Donald Trump. I got you, babe. There it is. I got you, babe. And of course, old Donald Trump responds with his own dedication right back to the New York AG.
This is a great CD.
We have no choice.
A lot of great songs.
No choice. We have no choice. And finally, the NASA Celestial Choir covers the Pat Benatar hit. Hit me with your best shot. Come on, hit me with your best today, shot. Jupiter, tomorrow, Uranus. That does it. For the Price is Wrong, Mark. Make sure you spay and neuter the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll see you next time. Love you, Mama Bay.
Oh, that was awesome. Well, congratulations, Sue, on the no case.
Thank you.
I feel pretty special CD.
Real great about it.
In fairness to the host, the prizes were not in the same order as the sheet, so that's why I screwed that up. I just have to point that out. George Gray is an huge Cardinals fan.
Yes.
One of the things that brought us together as friends. Usually we might hit a game. They're not in town right now, and you have to head to New York. Were you? All right, you live in Hollywood.
Yes.
Were you at the game on Friday night?
No. No, I was here.
Well, that's right. You were already here.
I wouldn't have gone to the game anyway. I don't have enough armor to wear. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Wearing a Cardinals cap in that stadium? No, thank you.
I forgot. You came in on Thursday. I did kind of forget about that. Were you watching the game, George?
You mean the 700 home
yes,
run?
Yes, that game. That special game.
You know what? No one was watching that game. And you know why? Because it wasn't broadcast. Oh, that's right. It was on Apple TV. You know the thing that six people have? What are you talking about?
I did not have it. I don't have it. Fred didn't have it.
Here's the only thing about that, and I understand it, and I have empathy. We talked about it on Friday, but the one thing that I was unaware of, and I was informed about this yesterday, is if you simply would have downloaded, George Gray, the Apple TV Plus app, you could have gotten it for free. They're not charging people. You could have had the trial. Not even a trial. You just watch it. That's all you got to do.
So you're going to tell me that somebody who's been watching the Cardinals play, right? I mean, since the dawn of time. You're going to tell that 90-year-old, just grab your smartphone and go ahead and download Apple TV so you can watch history be made.
Judy Reardon is almost 80 years old.
And she is a gem.
She knows how to download the app for Apple. No, that's a lie.
She has no idea.
That's the thing. If you're 20 years old, of course, you're like, well, that's how I'm going to watch it. But really? Really?
I know.
And by the time we figured out that's how you would have watched it, it was over.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is I remember, Fred, it was either Wednesday or Thursday. The Post had a piece on this, and the basic thrust of the matter was, the headline was, Albert might hit his 700th and people are not going to get to see it. And then, you know, I think we're sitting back thinking, he's not going to hit. He won't hit two tonight. And then he hits the first one and then he hits the second one. I wasn't so sure he wasn't going to hit the third one. It was really fun to watch, George. You should have really downloaded
it. I got to see the replays. I saw the replays.
I text him last week maybe a couple weeks ago before I knew you were coming into town.
Yes.
This was after the cratering. So I think it was early last week. Usually I get crabby texts from you about how bad the Cardinals are, and I was surprised that I wasn't getting any of those during that stretch where they weren't scoring any runs, George.
I was actually working a lot.
Is that why?
Yeah, we were shooting a lot. I was very busy, so I didn't. I just sort of tuned out, and I didn't get to see how bad they were.
It was not. I mean, Goldschmidt has essentially stopped being Goldschmidt. Now there's time, right? There's time to recover. Maybe this happened at a good time, but it's baffling because the bats just stopped working. And you know, these games tonight and tomorrow in Milwaukee, the Brewers have something to play for because they're only a game and a half out of the wild card. So we'll see what happens. It's great having you in studio. Best to Hoda and Jenna as they're on the
awesome.
Today Show.
Yeah! I'll even watch for you.
I'll tug my ear for you. Then I'll give you the old Carol Burnett. That's
sweet.
How you know that I'm
Please
thinking of you.
Do. You already had a Mrs. Wiggins reference earlier.
That's
in the
right.
That's two Carol Wiggins. Burnett references in 1 hour.
And we got to say go Cards, man. It's getting good, right? They're going to do it. They're going to rally. It's going
to
be great.
Potential for postseason, George, for you to come back in or not?
I will find a way.
All right.
Yes.
100% find a way. We're going to a game.
Then I'm
going to
say this confidently. We'll see you in a few weeks, George Gray.
I love it. All love right. you guys.
Take
Have a
care.
Great day.
Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.